listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Yes, you heard it. I'm RJ live in Las Vegas, broadcasting on 225 FSR stations across this great, great nation. I'm excited today. This is my favorite kind of show because we not only have big news and rumor and oh my, OMG kind of things, but the data tells the story. So everyone's looking at it. We think we can look at it better and predict the future better. That's why sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans to know more than their buddies. He's a fan. But I like him. He's my favorite Joe. He's in L.A., Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we have got people outraged by one player's comments in Major League Baseball, still trying to figure out what the NBA season could look like should they resume, what is the Vegas lead here on this Thursday?
Well, first, I'm going to whisper to you so other people can't. Did you win your bet yesterday, Jonas?
Of course I didn't. Come on.
You didn't?
No, of course not. Like, how was I supposed to know Andrei Arlovsky was going to fight Southpaw majority of the fight?
Listen,
never
you
done
sound
in
like
career.
The typical loser at the Sunset Station.
Damn
saying,
straight.
How was I supposed to know this or that? So you're now, is this correct? You're now 2-6.
I think 2-6.
Yeah, you were 2-4. Yeah. You were sitting on it.
Yeah, it's awful. It's terrible.
All right, then the Vegas lead has to be Russell Wilson. But, boy, there's so many facets to this. Is trade rumors. There's how he's being, in a way, disrespected, some believe, by PFF. So, to me, it's Russell Wilson and the reality that him being in Seattle for many years to come is far less than likely.
Yeah, RJ, and those rumors came out within the last 24 hours that the Seattle Seahawks actually contemplated trading their star quarterback Russell Wilson back in 2018. The team tied to many of those rumors right now are the Cleveland Browns, who were picking number one in that draft.
Okay, so let's make sure we got the facts lined up. Do we know for sure? Were they going to trade for the number one pick or trade for Baker Mayfield?
I just know that they were going to trade for draft picks. That's
okay.
All
so
heard.
We don't have any idea who they would have taken. And the theory is they would have replaced Russell Wilson with a quarterback at number one.
Right.
Could have been Sam Darnold in theory, right? Baker Mayfield, whomever. And then they figure, well, we got the quarterback cheaper. We think this quarterback's going to be good. And Russell Wilson's expensive at this point, and we can get some other draft choices and actually have a lot of money to spend on free. I mean, in a way, it's surprising these kind of trades don't happen more. If you got a guy who's considered a top 6, 7, 8 best quarterback, who's now on his, like Dak. Let's use Dak as a perfect example. If Dallas could have the number one pick and, let's say, Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
And they also could get multiple other picks and have money to spend on free agency, all in exchange for Dak. Don't you think about that trade?
You do the trade.
You do the trade.
Yeah.
So why would then, do you think Seattle was egregious in considering this trade, or do you think it's a trade they should have done if they had the chance?
No, I actually understand the thinking for the Seahawks. I personally wouldn't have done it because I'm probably a much bigger Russell Wilson fan than some others, but I can understand why they did it because they look at when were we the most successful? Our model of success was built around a rookie quarterback salary tied into really good players on the defense that we could afford to play because of that rookie quarterback salary. So I think they were looking at avenues to try and maybe get back to that, and so they considered it.
All right, so let's actually talk about, because this was a graphic that was on GetUp a couple days ago, and I took a snapshot of it because I thought it was very telling. And the idea is, what percentage of the salary cap, and this came off of Stephen Jones making the statements about, history tells us that there can only be a certain percentage of the salary cap with a quarterback, or the team doesn't do so well. So we're looking at all the quarterbacks from 2012 to last year that played in the Super Bowl. So both the winning and the losing quarterback. What I want to do is eliminate Tom Brady and eliminate Peyton Manning. Because here's what we know about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Two of the five best quarterbacks that's ever walked the earth. Right? Brady is the GOAT by, it seems like, almost everyone believes. And Manning might be the best regular season quarterback of all time, but he's certainly in the top five. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So they made a lot of, you know, two Super Bowls for Manning, obviously Brady with more, in this period from 2012. And they were about 9% to 14% of the cap. Any given year, it was different. But those, you know, they were some jumbo, you know, fairly jumbo numbers, though obviously Brady has taken a discount at various points. Otherwise, here is the cap percentage of Super Bowl. Let's say we'll start with losing quarterbacks, and then we'll do the winning quarterbacks. So Colin Kaepernick was 0.9%. Peyton Manning was the loser of the year after that, so forget that. Year after that, it was Tom Brady, so we're not going to talk about that. Or, I'm sorry, in this case, we got the loser again. It's Russell Wilson, 0.7%. So less than 1% now, both of these guys. Cam Newton lost the next year. He was 10%. And then the next year it was Matt Ryan, 18%. That's the jumbo guy. And then it was Tom Brady lost against Foles. Then it was Jared Goff lost at 4.7. And it was Garoppolo at 10.0. So the losing quarterbacks, except for Matt Ryan, were in that reasonable range, or they were tiny, tiny, like that rookie kind of deal. Now we look at the winners. Flacco, 7.0, or we'll just go with the percentage, 7%. And then it was Peyton Manning. Okay, so let's not worry about that. Then it was Russell Wilson that was below 1% again as a winner at the time. Peyton Manning. All right. So what we're seeing here is Tom Brady, then Nick Foles at 1%. But even if you look at him plus the starter, Carson Wentz, it was, you know, not big because Carson Wentz was on a rookie deal. Then it was Brady, and then it was Mahomes at 3%.
Yeah.
So the whole theory here, and we went through that slowly, but it's important. What you're saying is, if you don't have one of the five best quarterbacks of all time, or you don't have a quarterback on a rookie deal, you don't win the Super Bowl. It's like literally not one example.
Yeah, and Seattle was really, I think they were sort of the first team that put together this model, and other teams around it were scrambling. I think the LA Rams scrambled to try and follow the Seattle model. Until we have to pay our quarterback, let's gun it and try and get this done. Same with Philadelphia. Seattle was the first one. So since then, I don't think it's any coincidence they haven't been back.
And the question becomes, it'd be one thing to say, because what I've always believed, you either have, or not always, but in the last couple of years, is if you have a rookie deal and he's good, that works, or if you have a really good quarterback. The problem is when you have that middle of the road, that 10th best quarterback, and is that guy going to get you the Super Bowl? Because you're paying him now on his second or third deal, big money, right? And obviously an extreme case is Andy Dalton. Right. Andy Dalton was getting, what, $18 million this year. Can you know, and I think most people are accepting that middle of the pack stuff doesn't work. That you know, those guys got to either take a big pay cut, or you got to just keep drafting and hope Joe Burrow's good. Right. Because you could have Andy Dalton at $18 million or Joe Burrow. And they're saying, hey, Burrow could be better. He might not be, but he could be. And the chances are, we can't win with Andy Dalton because he's costing us $18 million. And that's the thing to realize. The whole rookie deal theory, we're in a salary cap league. So thus, if you spend your money, like Jared Goff, when they went to the Super Bowl before the, you know, before the deal, the idea would be, and they might have signed that deal right before, I don't remember exactly, but they had it worked out where it was scheduled in a way they could still have a lot of big money guys. And look what the Rams did. They had a lot of guys come in. You think, how'd they get him? How'd they get it? And it was like for a 1 or 2 year rental.
Yeah.
And they were taking their shot. So you either got to have a quarterback so good, Hall of Fame level, that they can make up for the lack of other players, Or you have a rookie who maybe isn't a Hall of Fame level guy, though Mahomes is kind of both, it feels like. But you can buy a bunch of other people. One or the other. And I would say this. There hasn't been a single time since 2012, and we could call that, by the way, Russell Wilson's rookie year, right? It could be the modern era where passing became even more important, that you either have a Hall or top five quarterback, or you have literally a rookie deal.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't feel like it's a trend as much as it's like, boy, it seems like it might be the only way to win. Now, I know there's other ways to win, but how convinced are you that this is the right way to win?
I'm convinced based on just the samples that you gave. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that this has happened for going on a decade now. We've seen 8 years going on 9 years that there's a model that works and a recipe that works in the NFL. And if that's the case, I would say that Russell Wilson is probably approaching that great quarterback status, but he could be the guy who then takes the turn from rookie quarterback deal, same with Patrick Mahomes, and I don't see that this trend is going to reverse anytime soon.
Okay, so here's the question. If Seattle felt like Russell Wilson was approaching, if not, and let's be candid, when you're in your eighth year, you're not supposed to be so much getting better, whereas we can't talk about potential at some point, right? Because you're going to start being on the backside, not especially when you're a mobile quarterback like Wilson. I'm thinking last year, year before, this year, next year, this is his prime, it strikes me. I think with a pocket passer, you can say, well, you can reach your prime, you know, more in your 33, 34. Yeah, maybe, but Wilson is not a pocket passer. So the question is, how good is he? And what does it say about Seattle's opinion of him that they consider this trade? Because if they thought he was potentially a Hall of Fame, or forget Hall of Fame, because I think with football it's hard, right? What's Hall of Fame? I don't even know who makes the Hall of Fame a lot of, you know. So is he obviously the top one or two quarterback now, and is he one of the 5, 6, 7, 8 best of all time? If we put that as the, you know, Mount Rushmore, though there's only four on Mount Rushmore, but if we say two Mount Rushmores, is that Russell Wilson? I don't think Seattle could think that, or why would they consider this trade? And the question is, what do the numbers say? So we're going to take our break. When we come back, Pro Football Focus made an assessment that Colin was so mad at today that really, I think by most people's opinion, disrespected Russell Wilson. We at pregame.com did a study. The numbers don't look great for Russell Wilson. We'll talk about it.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into the true value of one Russell Wilson.
And you know, when I'm going to tell our valued listeners how there's various ways to listen to us, Jonas, but I'm going to tease you with a question I'm going to ask you right now.
Cool.
The question is going to be this: which quarterbacks on their second contract or later, so not their rookie deal, would you have said, no, I'm not going to trade them for the Joe Burrow selection? The theory being Burrow is uncertain to be how good he's going to be, but you know for 4 years he's going to be mighty cheap. So if you could have any quarterback in college football, Burrow this year, would you rather him cheap or would you rather who else? So, for example, I would guess Patrick Mahomes, you'd say, no, I'll pay him. He's so good. How many other quarterbacks are on that list? It's going to be interesting. I bet there's not many. Great day to join us. You can listen on 225 Fox Sports Radio stations across the country and foxsportsradio.com streams all the FSR shows live, including Straight Out of Vegas. This is the fastest growing show on the network. We're proud of that, and we appreciate it because you helped that happen. Right now in Las Vegas, though, It is 86 degrees, and the neon on the strip, still off.
So, RJ, we've been discussing the rumors that are out there that the Seattle Seahawks actually contemplated trading Russell Wilson back in 2018.
And the theory was, or at least the story is, it was going to be a trade for the number one pick in the draft, plus other draft choices that Cleveland would have sent, and freeing up a bunch of money that they were paying Russell Wilson. The difference between that and the number one pick, who that would have been with Seattle, might have been different, I think, unless they're saying for sure they know. I haven't saw that report, because if it was Baker Mayfield, in hindsight, I think Russell Wilson's the way to go, paying him more or not. But you never know that, right? And that's why I asked the question with Burrow. Let's be honest. No one thinks Joe Burrow is better than Dak Prescott right now. He could be better. That's the question. How much are you willing to risk? Because if he is better or even equal, man, imagine. Dak was in a way, it's what Dallas has let go, you know, let pass by. 4 years of Dak being a pretty good quarterback, and they haven't really even advanced to the championship game in the NFC. Now, if you got to pay Dak $30-plus million, it's a hard cap, baby. That got to come from somewhere. So who's on that list? Who won't you trade for Joe Burrow?
Let me go division by division. I wouldn't trade Dak.
Oh, so wait a minute. So you're saying you wouldn't trade Dak?
No, I wouldn't trade Dak.
So you're saying you want Dak for 30-some million more than you want Joe Burrow on a rookie deal?
Yeah, I don't know what he is.
Well, but you're never going to know what he is, right? So the whole premise of this is you want to win a Super Bowl. So can you win a Super Bowl with Dak paying him 30 if the theory – and it's not theory, it's reality, you're going to have to go chitzy. I mean, the whole Tom Brady argument in his prime, a couple years ago, let's call it, it was an old prime, but give him credit, was we have a salary cap like anyone else. We are going to pay Brady, though not crazy amounts. He's going to take a little hometown discount, but we got to be deficient somewhere, right? Because when you're paying a quarterback a lot of money, you got to be deficient somewhere. Where's it going to be? And Belichick said, well, Brady, you're the one making all the money, so let's make it where you don't have as many running backs that are big time or receivers. And you should be able to make up for it because you're Tom effing Brady. And you know what? Three Super Bowls in the last 6 or 7 years speaks that, yeah, they were right about it. But any talking head, and I'll be candid, the more I listen to these guys, because for this job I listen more, the stupider most of them are. There's some dumb people out there. Making a living talking about their opinions. They're not that smart. Now, some are, but a lot aren't. I'm going to start pointing out more of the stupidity, to be honest. More specifically, because I don't care. But what I'll say is this. Anyone saying, well, Belichick's to blame because he didn't have him playmakers. Well, then where's the money coming from? Right? There's no credit card with this stuff. You can just say, worry about it next year. I guess there is the way you structure the deals. You can make it where 1 year looks better, but then the next year you're going to really suffer. The Patriots somehow have been competitive for almost 20 years in a salary cap era and never having a down year. You have the Hall of Fame quarterback go down, they still win 11 games. That is an amazing organization. But the premise of it is Brady takes a little less, so we have a little more. But in general, Brady was able to make up for not having that talent on offense. Jonas, do you believe Dak's the kind of quarterback that even with Zeke, even with some really good at various ones over the years, wide receivers, they've never gone anywhere. So now they're going to have to actually have less of those playmakers in the midterm because you're paying Dak 30. In fact, 35 is not enough for him, apparently.
Yeah, Dak would be one of the quarterbacks that I would give max money to over Joe Burrow on a rookie deal.
So you think Dak is – and listen, this is one of those chocolate vanillas. I'm not sure he – in fact, I don't think he meets that criteria for me. You think he does? That's a very reasonable disagreement. But do you believe that Dak has just gotten unlucky and that in truth, if they replayed those prior seasons, you know, in a simulation, that Dallas would have won a bunch? Or do you think Dak's just going to get better as time goes on?
I think he's going to get better, and I think that the Dallas Cowboy roster was overrated a year ago.
But they're paying a lot of money for him.
I know. Yeah, they're paying a lot of money.
Obviously, Zeke is – I mean, he's certainly one of the couple best running backs in the NFL, right?
Yeah, although I would say he had a pretty down year last year, especially
Yeah,
after
but still, if you rated running backs right now for this year, like what running backs would you rather have if they all cost the same? Zeke would be somewhere in the top five,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's in the conversation for sure. Yeah.
All right, so offensive line, you'd have to say Dallas has one of the top five or six best offensive lines, right?
I don't think it's as good as it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you, but I mean, there's not 7-8 teams with a better O-line than Dallas.
No, I don't think so.
So, to me, at least on the offensive side of the ball, that sounds like a pretty good team.
Defensively, I didn't think they were very good last year.
Yeah, no, I think you probably there's probably some truth. I mean, if anything, you just look at the numbers. I think it's. I mean, I agree with you. So, well, let me ask you this. How many quarterbacks do you think there are? Because if there's like 9 or 10, it won't be worth going through.
So I'll just go just the ones that I would say Dak, Carson Wentz, Stafford, Rodgers, Breeze, and Brady.
So right now, Tom Brady, even for – well, obviously you would trade Tom Brady for Joe Burrow, wouldn't you, at his age?
No.
Oh, I wish you were a GM and I was a GM. All right, so let's agree with this. I think most listeners or a lot of listeners would be saying, wow. No, listen, if it was 5 years ago, I wouldn't even – you know, Brady, as good as they come. In fact, this is a good segue, almost like we planned it. I really wanted to figure out how good Russell Wilson's performance has been, right? We can never predict the future from it, though the best – predictor of the future is prior performance, but it's not perfect. And there was a Pro Football Focus list that came out. And Jonas, maybe you can share that because I want to counteract that list with the data we did.
Pro Football Focus came out with their top 101 of the decade, and Russell Wilson, as we mentioned, RJ, was 33rd on that list. So that I know got RJ or got Colin Cowherd very frustrated with that. Colin's a big Russell Wilson guy, but
oh,
Russell Wilson, 33rd, the fourth highest Seahawk on that Pro Football Focus top 101 of the decade list.
Okay, now that's pretty amazing, right? And we talked yesterday just a little bit, I think, about the idea that Russell Wilson has never received a first place vote in the MVP. Not one.
Yeah.
And the defensive player Wagner had gotten one. And I think one other player has on Seattle. I can't remember who it was. So the idea that during the Russell Wilson era, Russell Wilson has received no MVP votes and other Seahawks, two others have received one. I mean, that's a disconnect you can't even fathom. And then you're saying that multiple Seahawks are ranked above him on the all-decade team. Now, since he started in 12, it's like he's pretty much this decade. So who were the other Seahawks?
The other Seahawks, and let me get back to this list here of live radio, RJ. The other
Seahawks.
Yeah,
well, let me. Okay.
So we had Richard Sherman rated 20th. Richard Sherman was rated 20th. Earl Thomas was 20th. Richard Sherman was number 4, and then Marshawn Lynch was at number 29.
Now that listen,
Seahawks.
Who in the right minds thinks Marshawn Lynch during the last decade was better than Russell Wilson? He might have been. You could maybe make that point during his very best year or two, but he. How many very best beast mode years have there been? It's been 5 years since he was beast mode, right?
It's been a while. I would actually argue that Russell Wilson made the turn towards really, really great quarterback in the league the season that Marshawn Lynch went out, because Russell Wilson went on a tear. I think he only threw one interception the remainder of the year, and him and Doug Baldwin were awesome that year.
Okay, so here's what we did. We said QBR is a great, great stat. And it really is. And we said what we want to do is say except QBR is a really good measure of how good a quarterback is. And then we said let's go back to 2012 because that was Russell Wilson's rookie year. So let's use that as a modern era. And then we said we're going to take every quarterback that's had 3 or more years as a starter. Right? So it means they've played a while. And we're going to look at all their QBRs averaged each season since 2012. So Brady, whatever he did in 2004 doesn't count, right? So it's a pretty good, if you trust QBR, which I know it's ESPN, so a lot of people like to say, oh, the ESPN's the idiots. I don't love everything on ESPN. QBR is a good number. It's the one number I trust most in quarterbacks, if you could just give me one. Here's the list of the best. You're going to like this, by the way. Here's the list of the best quarterbacks since. All right, so since 2012. And Russell Wilson is not very high. Tom Brady, number one. Drew Brees, number two. So far, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, remember, Mahomes hasn't played 3 years, so he's not on the list. Lamar Jackson's not on the list. You know, Mahomes has been in the league three, but he only got a QBR 2 years, right? All right. Number three, Dak Prescott. Number four, Matt Ryan. Number five, Big Ben. Number six, Russell Wilson. Number seven, Aaron Rodgers. So first off, this is plugging into the Aaron Rodgers skepticism that we have in Straight Outta Vegas. Personally, I do. RJ. Literally, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Big Ben, Russell Wilson had a better QBR average over the years. But the idea that Wilson is behind a Matt Ryan, behind a Dak Prescott, I think Brady and Brees people accept. Now, you might say, RJ, didn't you just hear Jonas? He talked about this magical turn that Russell Wilson made where he started getting better and better. Okay, we also expected that argument. So we said, let's just take the last 2 years and use that as a gauge of the trend line. Russell Wilson's average QBR over his entire career is 66.6. I'm not going to say there's anything to that, but it's 66.6. His average QBR the last 2 years, 66.6. Exactly the same. So I think the eye test tells me Russell's better, though the case can be made he doesn't have the best supporting cast now, so it's affecting his QBR. But in general, that 66.6, let's look at the last two-year QBR. By far the best, and it's not even close, is Drew Brees. 75.5 is his QBR. The next best QBR is Big Ben at 69. Now, remember, Big Ben didn't get a QBR last year, so okay. So the guy who's supposed to be the old man, Drew Brees, over the course since 2012, his QBR is right around 70, but it's 75.5 the last 2 years combined. Now, Tom Brady's a great example of the drop-off, right? He's number one, as we said, over the span of since 12, about 70, but he's got 61 the last 2 years. He is trending down, down, down. Dak Prescott, amazingly, over his career is 68, but it's 63 the last couple years. It looks like he's going down. Now, again, there can be vagaries, right? You can have a little variation. But in general, Russell Wilson has the same QBR the last 2 years as he has in his career, and this is to the decimal. And it's worse than Big Ben, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. So my point is, when Pro Football Focus comes out and says, oh, over the decade, he's in the 30s. Well, at least with quarterbacks, he isn't. Because I think most lists of people I like now would say Russell Wilson's the second best quarterback. It's Patrick Mahomes, and then you hear Russell Wilson second, and then if it's a Lamar fan, it'll be Lamar second, Russell third. I don't think I've seen a list in a long time that doesn't have Russell Wilson in the top three of current quarterbacks. Would you agree that that's the perception out there, Jonas, and also that you agree with it?
Yeah, top three. Yeah, for sure.
So when I ask you, and I'm not saying you're supposed to have the answer for this, that if the numbers tell us that no, Matt Ryan's clearly been better, no, Dak Prescott's clearly been better, Big Ben's been better, that doesn't feel right to you.
No, I disagree. I think he's better than all those guys.
So that's the question, right? Is you got nothing to go by, and I have nothing to go by when it comes to my opinion other than the eye test or the numbers. Now, do you particularly dislike QBR?
I just don't think QBR is the end-all, be-all.
So what's your, if I said one number, what would it be?
I don't know that there's one number. I just, you watch the game, you can tell who makes plays and who doesn't. I trust more of the eye test than I do a QBR. I don't know that anybody can definitively tell you what a QBR actually represents.
Well, the people invented it, certainly.
but what, like, if you had to ask, like, what does it mean? What does it tell you?
And again, I wasn't, you know, again, my knowledge of it 2 inches deep. But what I'll say is this, that it does better than passer rating, which used to be one, it accounts for running, because quarterbacks run. And if you can run well, you got to account for that. And that's why Lamar Jackson always, you know, is very highly rated with QBR, because he runs very well. Number two, it accounts for the scenario, what success represents on a given play. So the thing Football Outsiders talks about, and it's great, if it's 4th and 9 and you get 8 yards, that is not a successful play, right? They're going to give you that play in a way. Oh, they're not going to give you 8. They're going to give you 5. You know what I'm saying? Maybe right. You struggle for the last couple. But if it's 3rd and 3, 4 yards is a successful play. So it tries to say, given the context of the score and the down and distance, is this really as good as the raw numbers of X yards look? And it accounts for strength of schedule, as in who you're playing. It really is like a really good stat. And I'm not saying that it makes you wrong about Russell Wilson. I'm saying that in general, no stat I've seen comes close to it if it's just one for football or for quarterbacking. Though I get the whole idea that you could say, well, if we look at yards per attempt and then we consider this. But you know what makes that all BS to me is the idea that you'll hear like Skip and Shannon talking, and it's like, well, Dak had this many yards. And the other one says, yeah, but remember the second half against Green Bay, how easy that. Once you get to the point you can invalidate anything by talking about garbage time, then the numbers don't mean anything. You either got to forget the garbage time exists, or you got to have a number that accounts for that, right? So I think Russell Wilson has love and hate for the same reason, that this is a guy that came in, and this is going to seem out of left field, but tell me if you agree, Jonas. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. He came in saying, I'm not going to have sex until I'm married, right?
Yeah.
And if you're a religious person, you're going to look at this and say, holy cow, this guy's like from the 50s. And let's be honest, too. If you're a lot of people who like the old school values, and I'm not saying everybody, but in general, you wouldn't say they love, you know, let's say urban culture, right? You don't think of BET and religious people going together. It just doesn't fit. No, and that's the funny thing is, and maybe let me clarify, you don't think of like, let's say, the Southern conservative Republican voting bloc, let's say, because obviously there's a lot of, you know, African-Americans in this country who are very religious, whereas, you know, you go down south and you see just going back in history with Martin Luther King and a lot of the growth in the minority culture has stemmed from at least started with the religious stuff. So to me, I very much respect that. But if you look at the typical voting block of, let's say, you know, if you say this wouldn't be typically a football fan, or this is a football fan who's old school, the Archie Bunker football, maybe that's the best way to say it. Archie Bunker would probably like Russell Wilson more than he likes Patrick Mahomes, because Archie Bunker is going to say, hey, premarital sex is against what God says, no matter what Archie Bunker did in his youth, right? And it just feels like that, in a way, Russell Wilson got some fans because of him having, let's say, some values that other people can relate to. And it also caused him to be questioned, because it was like, huh, you're putting a standard up that is making the rest of us look bad. And wasn't that something that on within his own team, there was reporting that there was some conflict in the locker room?
Yeah, no, that one came out with his teammates, and there was a big article that came out, Richard Sherman talking trash to him during practice, and teammates, the defensive guys especially, you know, maybe not being able to relate to him because he wasn't, you know, at the characteristics or personality traits weren't the same as some of those other guys. And there was some rumors out there about, you know, his wife at the time, and possibly there was some sort of an affair that took place with a teammate. Like, there's been some stuff out there, and it felt like there wasn't a lot of support for him among some of his defensive players, or especially the players on the defensive side of the football.
And we got to get the news update. But I think what we're seeing here is it's not just a coincidence that he's divisive when it comes to people's opinions, and meaning he has qualities that make it where some people like him more than maybe his play on the field warrants, and other people like him less because of that. And to me, it's not a coincidence that there's more disagreement with Russell Wilson when it comes to how good he is. My gut feeling is it's probably right in the middle. At least that's what the numbers say.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will dive back into a busy, busy offseason in the NFL. We do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations. In store, curbside, visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Let's take our last break. And then, wow, not honoring the scholarships? Big. I mean, that's harsh. We'll talk about that and finish up Russell Wilson.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan, and we've been discussing Russell Wilson and his value in the NFL.
Oh, man, great conversation. I love these one-topic shows, baby. I love it. We get to dig in deep. So what do we figure out? One, it's not crazy that Seattle considered this, because history tells us rookie deals allow you on quarterbacks to pay for a lot of other good players. And once they become those big dollar veterans, it's tougher to win. And history says, at least since 2012, you're either a top five quarterback of all time, Peyton Manning and Brady, or you have a rookie deal. That's the only two ways to win a Super Bowl. That's the only two teams or types of teams that have won a Super Bowl since 2012. We've also said, hey, how good is Russell Wilson? On one hand, you have Colin Cowherd and Jonas Knox and Fezzik, that crowd. They love him. He's so good. Then there's others. Pro Football Focus, for example, came out today, said he's in the 30s when it came to how good he was this decade, 2010s. Marshawn Lynch was a better player this decade, according to Pro Football Focus, than Russell Wilson. That seems crazy. So I got to thinking, why would there be such a disparity? And then we thought on it. This guy is divisive. Russell Wilson is divisive. Now, how? Why? Well, he's got some pretty strong opinions about how to live life, and it makes some people love him, maybe more than the numbers say. Because the interesting thing is, as we looked at the numbers, Russell Wilson was good but not great in his career, if you look at QBR. The sixth best during the era, but Dak Prescott ahead of him, Matt Ryan ahead of him. Most people wouldn't agree with that. And as we thought of the divisiveness, it dawned on us, well, wait a minute. If there's disruption in the locker room, and Jonas, I want to bring you in here, isn't that another reason Seattle might have considered this? And I agree, meaning that, hey, if he's causing trouble with other players, not because of actions, but because of his belief system, hey, getting Kaepernick out of town made sense. Why? At least to some people, in that he's causing disruption. Well, wouldn't it be the same thing with Russell Wilson?
Well, I actually think that they addressed it, but they went in the opposite direction. When they got rid of those defensive players, the guy with the loud personalities, the Richard Shermans and those guys in that locker room, I thought they were making a statement that they were backing Russell Wilson to move forward with him as opposed to those other guys. This actually makes me wonder if maybe the contract negotiations were a little bit more dicey than were reported, and maybe Russell Wilson Wilson and his camp just wasn't willing to work with Seattle on anything, and they had to look at every option available.
Well, look at it like this. Reported today from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, he said that it's his belief that, or at least he has, let's say it this way, I want to be very specific. He has people telling him inside the organization that the idea of Russell Wilson being with Seattle in a couple years is very unlikely. So just today, the idea that, is this in the past now? Because the reporting about the 2018, maybe this was before, and as you said, made a decision to go forward with Russell and make that commitment. But then you're getting reporting coming out, and we don't know if it's exactly right. It seems unlikely he'll be there in even 2 years when it's still in his prime. Maybe that conflict and divisiveness has not ended.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as always, you can find the show on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!